John chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. We're going to talk this morning about the thief, the robber, the murderer, and the hireling. So we're going to talk about the bad guys in our passage this morning. I'd invite you to give your attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. John chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." We are promised a blessing in the reading of God's word in Isaiah chapter 55. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Our prayer this morning is that God would bless the reading, the hearing, and the application of his perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, we are continuing our time through John chapter 10 today. We have looked at the identity of the Good Shepherd, and we just did that briefly because we're going to do that in a few weeks, spend our time on the Lord Jesus. But as we've been going so far, we've looked at the sheepfold and what is the sheepfold in our passage. And last week, we looked specifically at the sheep. Well, Christ is the Good Shepherd, and we spent some time examining our responsibilities as sheep that fall to us, those who would follow the Lord Jesus. Remember, the sheep must hear the shepherd, and we remember and read that the sheep must follow the shepherd. And so we spent our time last week seeing that hearing the shepherd means a commitment to the word of God. That is how we hear from the Lord Jesus today. Following the shepherd for us means a commitment to the teachings of Jesus and obeying the teachings of Jesus. And that actually is a lot that's put upon our shoulders. It's something that we often struggle with in our walk with the Lord Jesus, is hearing him and then following him. And that plays partly into what we're going to look at this week, and that is going the right way, following the right shepherd. And the Lord Jesus gives us very good instruction in our passage today. So we turn our attention then to focus on the thief and the hireling in our passage that is before us. Now, we've heard several warnings in the weeks previous about the thief, and we've heard that he is one who will seek to lead us away from the Lord Jesus. We've heard that very briefly, but I'd like us to spend the bulk of our time today being warned about the thief and some of the things that you should look for and that I should look for as we are warned against the one who will dare to stand in the place of the Lord Jesus and draw his sheep away. Now, there are a number of characteristics of the thief and the hireling in our passage today, and I want us to try to spend a few moments on each of those. Now, we have a goal in front of us is to recognize these false shepherds in our passage. A couple of good summaries that are helpful here in our goal. George Hutchison says, "It is a matter of no small importance to people that they discern who are their true shepherds and who are but intruders to deceive them." I don't have to tell you today that there are a lot of people out there who want to deceive the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know this. We live in a perilous time, especially in our day, with the ease of a false shepherd being heard. You know, a person can be heard by millions of people in our day. It's a different world, certainly, that where false shepherds are especially dangerous in our time. Matthew Henry says the under-shepherds who are entrusted to feed the flock of God ought to be careful and faithful in the discharge of that trust. He says magistrates must defend them and protect and advance all their secular interests. Ministers must serve them in their spiritual interest, must feed their souls with the word of God faithfully opened and applied, and with gospel ordinances duly administered, taking the oversight of them. So we're talking about some of the responsibilities of true shepherds who follow the Lord Jesus today. Matthew Henry continues, he says, they must enter by the door of regular ordination, and to such the porter will open. The Spirit of Christ will set before them an open door, give them authority in the church and assurance in their own bosoms. They must know the members of their flock by name and watch over them, must lead them into the pastures of public ordinances, preside among them and be their mouth to God and God's to them. And in their conversation must be examples to the believers. Those who are truly the sheep of Christ will be very observant of their shepherd and very cautious and shy of strangers. This is our encouragement before us in the Word of God today, to recognize that a true shepherd following after Christ and ministering for him to his flock will do certain things in the church. And there are certain responsibilities that they have. There's certain ways that they come in. And there is authority and accountability to true shepherds. So we're going to consider false shepherds. We're going to see, as we make these applications, that false shepherds don't like accountability. False shepherds don't enter in through the door. False shepherds follow after these characteristics before us in our passage. Now, our God is not silent about shepherds in his word. There's much to be said about shepherds in the Old Testament. We know and have looked very briefly at the positive example of Psalm 23 as it speaks of our Lord. Well, we hear a negative example in Ezekiel chapter 34. "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God." So this is God speaking to false shepherds. "Surely because my flock becomes a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock." We know in reading of the passage in Ezekiel, this is a common thing in our day, that there are many shepherds who feed on the sheep, who do not feed the sheep, who do not protect them. And we'll look at some of those proper responses this morning. Ezekiel 34 continues, "Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them." Well, what a wonderful encouragement in the reading of Ezekiel 34. God is not unaware of false shepherds today. And woe to the one who would be a false shepherd, according to Ezekiel 34, because the Lord God is against them, and he will remove them, and he will rescue his people. Our confession of faith speaks of this, and this is printed in your worship order there before you in chapter 25 of the church. of the church, and to this Catholic visible church, Christ hath given the ministry. Christ has given the ministry. He's given shepherds, oracles, and ordinances of God for the gathering and the perfecting of the saints in this life to the end of the world. So the gathering and perfecting, that's what shepherds do. Gathering and perfecting, that's one of the roles of a shepherd and the roles of the church, and shepherds play a role in that. Our confession continues, by his own presence and spirit, according to his promise, make them effectual thereunto. This Catholic church hath been sometimes more, sometimes less visible. In particular, churches, which are members thereof, are more or less pure. So the Lord Jesus knows that in the visible church that there will be ups and downs. There will be false shepherds. And look at some of the ways that we can tell if the church is more or less pure. According to the doctrine of the gospel is taught and embraced. Who teaches the gospel in the church of Jesus Christ? That is the shepherds, that is the pastors and the elders. Ordinances administered. Who administers the ordinances in the church of Jesus Christ? The pastors, the elders. And public worship performed more or less purely in them. Who administers worship and conducts or leads worship, rather, in the church today? The pastors, the elders. So the purity of the church in many ways falls upon the shoulders of those who are shepherds in the church. And our confession recognizes this because the scriptures teach this. Well, let's look at a couple of the characteristics of the thief. In our time this morning, we have a number set before us. You see those in the outline there. There are actually 10. I think we could probably draw out a few more, and we'll go over a couple a little more briefly than others. But there are a number of characteristics of false shepherds in our passage. Let's look at verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Okay, so this gives us our first couple of guidelines here we see for a true shepherd and a false shepherd. A false shepherd does not enter the church through the door. He does not enter the sheepfold by the door. All right, remember, Christ is the door. We looked at this and spent some time on this a few weeks ago. So the primary way we identify the thief or the false shepherd is that they seek to undermine the Lord Jesus Christ in their teaching and in their actions. So they do not come through the door. And they don't respect the door. They don't come through the door, so they don't care if you come through the door. They'll draw sheep into the church in any way they can because they have no respect for the door. Christ is not the center of their ministry, in other words. And again, you and I know, we don't have to think very long. The examples are many before us of churches that do not center their ministry and their words and their attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ-centered churches are a rare thing in our day, but churches are not. There are churches on every corner, but there are few that focus the entirety of their ministry upon the shepherd, the door, the good shepherd. Now, J.C. Ryle has a good statement here. He says, it is Christ himself who is the door. The true shepherd of souls is he who enters the ministry with a single eye to Christ, desiring to glorify Christ, doing all in the strength of Christ, preaching Christ's doctrine, walking in Christ's steps, and laboring to bring men and women to Christ. The false shepherd of souls is he who enters the ministerial office with little or no thought about Christ, from worldly and self-exalting motives, but from no desire to exalt Christ and the great salvation that is in him. Christ, in one word, is the grand touchstone in the minister of religion. The man who makes much of Christ is a pastor after God's own heart, whom God delights to honor. The minister who makes little of Christ is one whom God regards as an impostor, as one who has climbed up to his holy office, not by the door, but by some other way. We don't have much time this morning, but you know, and I know, that we can think of many ministers who are not ministers of the gospel, but ministers of themselves, who do not seek to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the primary and the main way that we would measure a false shepherd today, a thief. A hireling is by their ministry of the Lord Jesus. And I love this contrast by Ryle. I think he does a very good job of summing up our thought on this today. He's comparing the true shepherd and the false shepherd. This is the reason why Christ gives us this very clear illustration. It's easy for us to see that. If our focus is on the good shepherd, the true shepherd, then it'll be easy to see who the false shepherds are. And yet, what do we see in the church today, the larger church? It's people don't seem to know who the false shepherds are because they speak so eloquently, or they do other things that seem to be good in the church, and the sheep follow them, or those who claim to be sheep will follow them. And there's, you know, some I'll read a couple of quotes this morning of men who believe that people who follow after false shepherds are not the true sheep. Now, we might not go quite that far, but that's the implication that's made here. Sometimes the true sheep will stop following false shepherds and come back to the true shepherd, but we do see that that's a good connection to make, and it's hard to hear that today, but that's what the Lord Jesus is saying. The true shepherd is the one who keeps the focus on the door, who points the sheep to the door, who respects the door, and whose ministry revolves around the door, that is the Lord Jesus. The true sheep will come through that door. The true shepherds come through that door. And so as we're considering the false shepherds who have no respect for Christ today, or his being the entryway into the church, let's notice that false shepherds will often attempt then to not only come through another door in their ministry or themselves, but they will seek to bring others through the wrong door. And this is our second example before us in our passage. Not only does he not come through the door, but he climbs up through some other way. He climbs up through some other way. Well, I'm having to hold myself back here because if not through Christ, what are some of the other ways that the thief will enter the church? The examples are just dozens and dozens, even hundreds of different ways that people come into the church today. Let's just talk about a few and just mention them for your edification. Often we see that false shepherds, thieves, robbers will come through the church through false doctrines. They'll come through false doctrine. In fact, it's popular to promote certain doctrines today that directly affect the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very popular to promote salvation by works in our day. This has always been popular in the Lord's time with the Pharisees. Salvation by works is natural. We come from the womb thinking that we would earn the salvation of some deity over us. That's very natural. That's what we think we do naturally. It's very popular then to promote this type of Christianity, salvation by works. True shepherds don't promote salvation by works. It's a good way to tell. Another way is sometimes shepherds, false shepherds, will promote the idea that being a Christian is about being wealthy. It's this prosperity gospel, in a sense. And they'll try to promote the idea that, well, they're millionaires, you should be one too. That's a false gospel, and false shepherds teach this kind of a thing. The Lord Jesus never taught such things. Sometimes, well, very often, we live in a time of ease, but very often to follow the true shepherd will mean that you will suffer and die. That's the true teaching of the Lord Jesus. You will be persecuted, and that's what has often happened. False shepherds who will not enter the door of the Lord Jesus will seek to grow the church through unbiblical ways. If Christ isn't the door, well, then I can make anything the door. And anything I can think of or idea or entertainment or whatever will be the way that people come into the church. This is a evidence of a false shepherd. Hypocrisy is a way that thieves try to climb into the church. They try to climb into the church through deceit and through other ways. And many of these are all ways that false shepherds want to come to the church. Now, one of the best applications that I did want to spend a few moments on with the idea here of how thieves and robbers come into the church. If they won't come through the door, we talked about the sheepfold, right? Well, the illustration of a sheepfold is a wall. It's a wall around the sheep, and it's a high wall to protect them from thieves and robbers. Well, one of the ways that thieves and robbers come into the church is by breaking down that wall, by making their own door. And if we carry forth, I think not too far, but if we carry forth that illustration, this is an example of how men and women will seek to tear down the walls of the sheepfold itself. They'll come in through false means and ignore the protective walls of the church. How often today do you hear false shepherds put down the church? They'll put down things that are so important in the Word of God, the biblical form of church government. How many think of their own form of church government? We see the biblical form of church government is a protective element for the sheep. It's part of the wall that goes around the church. Biblical form of church government, that Presbyterian form of church government as taught in the Word of God. We see also that many thieves will resort to other forms of church government. And I want to be careful today. I'm trying to think how I wanted to say this morning. I'm not saying then that non-Presbyterians are false shepherds. I don't believe that. In fact, I have great love for many independents and Baptistic forms of church government. I'm not saying that that means you're a false shepherd. What I'm saying is that the true form of church government in the Word of God will be a protection to the sheep. And sometimes very good men, very wise, it's not too wise in this respect, but many good men will follow after a non-biblical form of church government. And that non-biblical form of church government, whatever you may think in your head, whether it's Congregationalism or Anglicanism or whatever, that unbiblical form of church government makes it easier for false shepherds to grow and to gain other sheep. Okay? There's less accountability. So Congregationalism, a man can just arise up and become a shepherd because he's not accountable to other shepherds in the Presbyterian form of church government as taught in the Word of God. So many good people and good men are Congregationalists, but that form of church government is very dangerous. It is. It's very dangerous today. Let's just make sure we're clear on what I'm saying. Samuel Rutherford spent much of his time in his later ministry writing about the great dangers of schism and congregationalism and non-Presbyterian forms of church government. In fact, by 1649, if you're familiar with the Westminster Assembly, it wrapped up in 1647. And we always think, well, what a wonderful thing the Westminster Confession and Assembly is. Yes, it was. But by 1649, 2 years, in his writing, Samuel Rutherford said, the Christian world is in shambles in London because of schism and because mainly of Congregationalists. Isn't that interesting? He saw the great threat that was there. And today, most churches that don't follow Presbyterianism will follow some sort of a congregational mentality, an independent. Independency is what Rutherford was writing against. So let's be careful. Again, I want to say it so we're not misunderstood. Independents and Congregationalists are not false shepherds, but that form of government breeds false shepherds. And it's dangerous because we find that the Word of God is filled with accountability for those who would be true shepherds. And these forms of church government that are not biblical, they don't have accountability. But when we're considering the lack of respect toward the sheepfold and to the church itself, look at how false shepherds will often disregard the visible church. They'll disregard things like church membership. Oh, that's not important. That's not something that's important often to false shepherds. They'll disregard things like elder oversight and accountability or fencing the table of the Lord's Supper or church discipline. Where has church discipline gone in the modern church? Well, largely because without church discipline, false shepherds can grow and breed because there's no accountability. I can tell you how many times I've seen that in my own life. As I was coming toward Presbyterianism, that accountability helps to keep down the growth of false shepherds. You see, all these things we're talking about are proper biblical protections of the sheep and of the sheepfold, and they're often disregarded by the men who will want to climb over the wall and avoid the door. The rise of parachurch ministries has also given a safe haven for many men who would threaten the church. And again, not always. Not every parachurch ministry is propagating a false shepherd, but that's something that can happen in our time. If you don't think anyone You don't need to be accountable to anyone. You can say whatever you want as long as it's popular. And we know the great danger of that. We would also say something that we see very often in our time, and just wrapping up some thoughts here, but the Lord Jesus Christ never calls women to shepherd his church. He has given that office of shepherd and overseer to men. And so anytime we see a woman leading the church, or a woman preacher or minister or whatever, that is a false shepherd. It's just simply false. Lord Jesus has never given this role to one. So let's just be very clear. I know today we're saying some harsh things, saying some very difficult to hear things. But this is something that we need to say today with the scripture that is before us. I've known many false shepherds in my time, in my day. I've been a Christian a long time, and I've known many. And sadly, we can't just say, well, if you're Presbyterian, then you're surely a true shepherd. Because even in the Presbyterian form of church government, it can be distorted. I've known false shepherds in the Presbyterian church. So even with the accountability, that can be distorted. Let's be careful. And largely, that's because of the sheep who will give that support, and they'll follow that man even though he's a false shepherd. So, and again, harsh words to say today, but I think our Lord is giving us a very stern warning in our text to be warned about false shepherds. There are many thieves in the church today. Many thieves. And you and I should be careful who we listen to, careful who we follow, careful who we promote. Sometimes we'll send that support off to that ministry, to that man. We think he's wonderful. Well, maybe the other people around him are not. There's no accountability. You have no way of knowing that. So just be careful in our day who you support and who you promote. And through the church is the proper way to promote evangelism and to promote church planting, to promote the false or the true preaching of the gospel, and be warned against the false preaching of the gospel. Okay, so let's move forward. Number three, we see that the false shepherd, the thief, he desires to steal the sheep. Okay, so many men desire to become shepherds today just simply for the sake of being a shepherd. They like people to follow them, and that's what they're doing. If their ministry is all about them, then they're sheep stealers. They're not shepherding a flock of sheep who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's never any thought of that in their ministry. It's about me, and let's see how many sheep I can get. And their ministry largely represents that. You see this all the time in our world. False shepherds who are about themselves, who are sheep stealers. So true ministers are not about getting more sheep. They're about protecting the sheep they have. And they let the Lord Jesus grow the flock of those who come to them. That's true shepherding. And we see this is a biblical form of church growth. If you just desire to have a church, just to have a church, or just to be a big name, or to be rich or wealthy, that's a good sign of a thief. It's a good sign of a false shepherd. One of the works of a thief is to steal the hearts of the sheep away from the Lord Jesus Christ to themselves. That's what a false shepherd does. It's a very sad thing to see in our time, but we all know, and we've probably all been a part of a church where we have sat under false shepherds, thieves and robbers. And it's a sad thing to see. In fact, we often can think of those that we love who maybe are under someone that we're a little suspicious of. Many loved ones, brothers and sisters, dear Christian people, at times will follow after false shepherds. They'll follow after the thieves and the robbers. Thieves and robbers are usually pretty charismatic folk. They're pretty good at getting people to follow them, and it's understandable why people do follow. But we've seen that the hearts and the minds of our loved ones, our friends, are often drawn away from Christ and the true gospel message of his perfect work upon the cross. They follow after people who don't teach that thing, that type of doctrine. And that makes us sad. We pray that they would come back to the true church, that they would come back to the Lord Jesus. And we pray that that would happen. Let's cover our next two points together here. They're different, but let's see them together. The desire of, we see fourthly, of a thief is to kill. Okay, so not only do they steal the sheep, but they kill them and they destroy them. Number five there. What are some ways that you can kill a sheep today? Not to go too far down that road, but there are lots of different ways you can kill a sheep. You don't have to immediately take their life. One way to kill a sheep is to starve them to death. And we see this often happens in churches where they're starved of true teaching or starved of the gospel. Very, very common thing in our day. If there's no feeding of the sheep, then their life is in danger. And false shepherds won't feed. Another way to kill a sheep is to draw them away from the good shepherd, to draw them away from the Lord Jesus Christ by drawing them outside of the safety of the sheepfold. So when you hear someone say, well, church membership isn't important and oversight's not important, come follow me, that's a dangerous thing to the sheep. That will kill the sheep. And so they can be led along, and it may seem everything's fine, but there's no protection that the Lord Jesus offers outside of the sheepfold. So you can see that often there is a very dangerous attitude, and sometimes that can lead to their destruction, not only to the killing of their life, but to their destruction. We can make some spiritual applications there as well. Listen to George Hutchison here. He says, so the meaning is that whoever takes upon themselves the person and the office of the Messiah, and whosoever do usurp a lawful calling in the church without his call, and do not preach a sound doctrine of Christ, they are in effect and ought to be accounted murderers and robbers. And whoever do follow them in their doctrine, yet none of the elect will finally persist in such a course. That's what I'm saying. We could talk about that application there, but he's making a very strong point. But isn't that interesting? We see this passage and we want to talk about thieves and robbers. But what is the Lord Jesus teaching us here? He's teaching us about murderers. Murderers. So those who would teach false doctrine, in many ways, we could say they're murderers. Because they're murdering much more than the body, aren't they? The soul. There's a spiritual application there. And this is one of the reasons why a blasphemy is such a heinous sin. Because it murders the soul, in effect. It attacks that which is eternal. And so we can see that is such a heinous sin. It's a murderous sin. So false shepherds aren't just kind of dangerous, are they? False shepherds are murderers. They're leading people with them to hell. Very, very dangerous sin in our passage. Sixthly, let's see verse 12. He fears those things that threaten the church. Look at verse 12. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and what does he do? He leaves the sheep and he flees. He fears for his life. Now, fear is a good thing, you know. Fear of a hot stove. Fear is a good thing if you're a shepherd because you can recognize a dangerous threat, a bear or a lion, or you can avoid a steep terrain that's dangerous to the sheep. So fear is a good thing. But this hireling flees because of his own fear for his life and he does not protect the sheep. What would the true shepherd do in this instance? Let's make a few applications here. A true shepherd, one who's truly guiding the sheep for the benefit of the sheep, he'll attack the wolf. He won't be afraid of the wolf, and he might die. But what would a real shepherd do? Not afraid of the wolf. He'll go for the wolf. He'll try to take the wolf out. That's what a real shepherd would do. And what are some applications that we see in our passage before us spiritually? So then a hireling, a false shepherd, will not be bold in the proclamation of the truth. Because what does that mean? In our day, in many parts of the world, and maybe someday in our nation, but proclaiming the truth can get you killed if you're a true shepherd. False shepherds aren't going to do that. They're not going to do that because it's dangerous to them and they're not concerned about the sheep. The hireling will not put himself in danger to preach the clear word of God. The hireling will not bear any persecution. The hireling will not stand up to correct the culture. The hireling won't go against the flow of culture because it's dangerous to them. The hireling will run from any confrontation and will not only seek after their own benefit, but their own comfort and their own ease. That's what hirelings do. Hirelings don't stand up to wolves. Notice the hireling has no concern for the fact that his leaving the sheep will leave them to the wolf. They don't ever see that connection. that when they run away, they leave the sheep to the wolf. They don't see that because that's not their concern. They don't care about the sheep, as we see the Lord Jesus teaching us in our passage. It's a very sad thing to notice in our day, where the very lives of the sheep are of no concern to the hireling. And we're talking about the characteristics of thieves today, the hirelings, the false shepherds, the murderers. Well, what a great warning to the true shepherds today. A great warning in our passage, very sobering to the true elder, the one who does care about and love the sheep. Look what he is being called to do. He's being called to confront the wolf. He's being called to give his life. He's being called to give all for the sheep, because those sheep don't belong to him. They belong to the Lord Jesus. If they're your sheep, well, get rid of them and go get some new ones, right? It's not important to you if you're a hireling. And this is a fearful thing for the true shepherd to read today. There are many ways that elders can leave the sheep to the wolves in our time. And again, our time is limited, but just making a few applications, a leader in the church can make the sheep to be vulnerable to wolves by false doctrine. Again, you leave the sheep to the wolves through false doctrine. And many false doctrines are taught in the church today. Distorting the teachings of Christ can put the sheep at risk. And this is one of the ways that false shepherds leave the sheep to the wolves. What about, let's make the application again to church government. Through a poor oversight, improper church government, unbiblical church government, then we see that sheep are left to the dangers that come from the wolf. Have you ever thought about that application here with false shepherds, the church government? That's one of the ways that we leave the sheep outside of the sheepfold. It's one of the ways we let false shepherds into the sheepfold. We see that improper, unbiblical church government is leaving the sheep without oversight. And that's a very, very common thing in our day. Through failing to practice church discipline, we find that false shepherds will leave the sheep to the wolves, because men who shouldn't be in office will continue to be in office, and sheep who shouldn't be in the church will continue to be in the church. That's a dangerous thing for those who are true sheep and those who are a true shepherd. There's a keeping of those things out in the Word of God through church discipline. Those who won't practice church discipline are fostering and growing false shepherds and false sheep. Now, we can also take this too far the other way. If we abuse church government, we can throw good and right sheep and good shepherds out of the church. So that's improper too. If we're going to distort church government and throw them out to the wolves, that's also the sign of a false shepherd, is someone who would distort church discipline the other way as well. The seventh example we see in our passage is that the false shepherd will leave the sheep. He leaves the sheep. Look at verse 12. He sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees. I know we have some men training for ministry among our group, and this is an important thing to see. One of the cardinal rules for the shepherd is to stay with the sheep. It's to keep the sheep. It's to protect the sheep. And we find too often that the shepherd leaves them to the dangerous ground of the wolf. Now, we want to say, though, does that mean that a pastor or elder can never leave a particular church and go pastor another church? Can an elder or a pastor never retire? And we say, well, that's one of the benefits of having multiple elders. A plurality of elders is that a man can be called to a different field. A man can be can retire. So there should be always more than one elder over a particular flock. You know, there's a good and a right way to do those things. But we do see then that the sheep are always protected, and that is his primary care. And sometimes we've seen historically some ministers who there was no other elder or pastor, and that man would stay with those sheep till his dying day. And what a wonderful thing to see, that love for the sheep. And that's something that all of us as shepherds should grow to have, even though it's a dangerous job. And sometimes it's one where we sometimes get negative feedback or very dangerous feedback. To shepherd the sheep is important, and I, I pray that that our shepherds would do this. Now, we do want to say that there are legitimate reasons to leave a congregation, but always with care. God does call men to different mission fields, and he calls them to different places. Paul had to leave his flock at many different points. He had to leave his friends behind, but he always left them in the care of other elders. See that biblical example of putting elders in place in different cities. God does call men to different flocks. But the shepherd will always put the safety of the flock ahead of his own and the good of the flock ahead of his own. Eighthly, we see in verse 12 that the false shepherd will provide for the wolf. He's good at that, isn't he? Of putting the dinner plate before the wolf. That's what false shepherds do because they don't care. Look what our passage says in verse 12. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Very sad truth to notice in our day that the one who is not the true shepherd is in fact working for the benefit of the wolf. He's feeding the wolf. Sometimes that's all men do, is feed wolves, because they don't take care of the sheep. And so what a wonderful thing for Satan's benefit to have men and women in the pulpit, and that's what they do, is they continually feed the wolf. What a sad thing to see in our day. But that's what Jesus is teaching here in our passage, isn't it? That those who are not true shepherds will feed the wolves. And that's a good measuring point for false shepherd. The true shepherd is not providing sheep for the wolf to catch. The true shepherd is defending the sheep. He is striking the wolf. He is fighting against the wolf. George Hutchison says, when Satan and his instruments are let loose upon a church and pastors do prove unfaithful, there may be great havoc and desolation made in it. For in this case, the world catcheth and scattereth all the sheep. Some he catcheth by error. He makes a prey of some by persecution. And whoso escape that trial may yet suffer scattering by division or deprivation of mutual fellowship and solemn assemblies. And albeit all this be the wolf's fault, yet it is also put upon the hireling's account, who by his example is shifting trouble, and by his withholding the encouragement of doctrine, and his want of courage in maintaining truth, doth open a gap to the wolf, doth expose the sheep as a prey, and doth weaken their hands. We can again think of examples. Lastly, we want to see, two, very quickly, he fails to protect the sheep. This is what the false shepherd does. This is what the hireling does. We always want to be about the protection of the sheep. Now, this is the great failure of the hireling. He doesn't protect the sheep. Now, often you can see the handiwork of the hireling by looking back upon a particular man's ministry. Let's make an example, and let's say you're a doctor, and you want to look back upon the work that you've done over your life. Let's say you're a doctor, and you look back behind you, and you see in your wake, behind you, you see nothing but dead bodies. As you're a doctor and all you see is dead people when you look back, you're probably a really bad doctor. You're not a good doctor. You're just not, if you can't save and help people. Well, the same can be said for ministers. If all you see in your years of ministry is carnage and chaos and hurt families and broken churches and wrecked lives, you're a hireling. It's doubtful that God has called this man to ministry. God calls men to help the church, not to destroy it. God calls men to mend the broken wounds, not to make new ones. God calls shepherds to protect the sheep, not to kill them. God calls men to feed the sheep, not to feed on the sheep. God calls shepherds to bring order and strength and comfort to the church, not wreckage and pain and sorrow. Shepherds dry the tears. They don't cause them. And friends, this is one of the things we see with false shepherds. They fail to protect the sheep. Woe to those shepherds who lead their flock against the Lord Jesus Christ. Woe to the shepherd who will lead their flock away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And many applications follow. Our time is limited, but woe to the shepherd who would lead their flock in the profaning of the Lord's day, you know, in against the clear commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a good way to lead the sheep. And you can see many applications follow through there. False shepherds do not care about the sheep. Verse 13, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. You and I can see this in all of our examples today. Too many men seek the ministry today to become shepherds, to become elders for gain and not for the good of the sheep. Many seek to become shepherds for power or authority for themselves and not for the good of the church. Our passage today clearly exposes the false shepherd. It exposes the hireling, the thief, and the robber, and the murderer. Look at how clear the Lord's words are today. I'd invite you to hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ today, not only just to point fingers and lay the blame at the feet of those imposters, but my friends, do you see today that a large part of the blame falls to the sheep? Because didn't Jesus say to follow the true shepherd and to hear him and not to hear the false shepherds? You see, a lot of the blame falls to us, those who are sheep, because we continually follow after those who should not be followed. George Hutchison says, when any do either embrace false doctrine or fall into liking with corrupt men who run unsent, it is no sign of their grace, but of their corruption. He also says, where whatever dangerous errors a child of God's may be undertaken with, yet he will at length recover out of them. This is a promise we have before us. True sheep will follow true shepherds. Hutchison says, lastly, whatever may be said of a child of God's living and dying in some lesser errors in times of ignorance, yet such as persist in gross errors, and here's the line he makes, particularly in seeking another way of salvation besides Christ, which is the first and chief thing that Christ points to here with these Pharisees. They do prove that they are no sheep. Can you see that application in our text? That those who would follow after a shepherd who doesn't preach Christ, are they really sheep that belong to God? It's a heartbreaking question to ask, but our Lord Jesus is very clear. Christian, I would call you today to be warned about the dangers of listening to the voices of thieves and robbers and hirelings and false shepherds and murderers today. These voices are all around us in our time. The biblical form of church government will go a long way toward eliminating these false shepherds. But notice how much falls back upon the sheep in the responsibility of our text. The sheep will not hear the voices of those who are false, and they will not follow them. See your warnings in our text before us today. Let's ask the question, have you and I in some way encouraged hirelings in our lives? Have we encouraged hirelings? Have you encouraged a hireling in your own life and in the things you listen to and the people that you promote? Have you encouraged a false shepherd? Let's be careful today as our Lord warns us in our passage. And perhaps you're hearing the words today and you know how much misery and turmoil that you've been through in your life because of a false shepherd. I can think of a lot of pain in my own life because of my own following after false shepherds. Hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Follow him. Follow true shepherds as the passage is instructing us. And maybe you're hearing these words today as well, and you know that you are not following the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow no shepherd. You follow yourself. You know of your misery. You know of your heartache of living outside of the church and apart from Christ. I would urge you today to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, because only in him is there found comfort and salvation and protection and forgiveness of sins. You'll not find those precious things in the poison words of the hireling. Only Christ cares for the sheep. Hear his words today, Christian and non-Christian alike, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and pray. Father in heaven, grant us clear vision to see the false shepherds around us, warn us from the hireling, the thief, and the murderer. Father, grant that we might avoid these dangers. Might we see the benefit of the church and protect and honor the church. Strengthen the sheep, we pray, to run from wolves, and help your true shepherds today to be even more faithful to serve in their callings with truth and honor, as we see exemplified before us in our text through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his precious and powerful name that we pray today. Amen.